The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A positive September jobless report and a temporary end to the dock workers' strike. Wall Street liking what it sees. Our business analyst David Johnson is with us.
And I'm really jealous. I don't get food.
You can come down and join us anytime. We got an extra headset.
Believe me, we've got more than enough.
I look forward to it. All I get is mixed minus in my ear. I'm going to come see you.
So the jobless report, better than expected?
Yeah, a lot better than expected. What we're seeing is, I mean, this has been the latest concern for the Fed. Last time around, it really wasn't inflation. They said, you know, that's moderating. It's coming down. It's headed in the right direction, the trajectory. But it's the labor market that we're really worried about, and that can really be inflationary and everything else. Today, we got the numbers. We had double the number of job gains than expected. That's good, especially for the people who found the jobs. The unemployment rate came down. But also, what we're seeing is a conversion. There were less part-time jobs and more full-time jobs. Well, that's optimism. So, you know, if you're a business and you need some help, you know, rather than staff up, just to have to turn around and fire somebody, which is really expensive, then you hire some part-timers. Well, now they're confident enough, they're shifting those part-time jobs over to full-time jobs, so it really it bodes well. Now, what it means is interest rates go up, and right now I'm watching 10-year rates go back up to 3.96%, but because it means that the Fed probably doesn't have to be as aggressive on cutting interest rates. But look, a good economy is good for everybody. And I tell you, you know who's really happy today, aside from your 401k?
Who?
All the politicians that are trying to get reelected.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly right. Yeah, this could have definitely affected the election, but that's been delayed now. Pushed back until the dock workers, I guess, is what I'm talking about now. That's a huge thing, too.
Exactly, and that's the other thing that was hanging out there, because they were talking about the Biden administration sort of being in this no-win situation. If you sit back and do nothing and the economy goes south and nobody can get Christmas presents, then you're mad at him. But by the same token, if he goes in and forces them back to work, then labor's got to be mad at him. So, you know, they're happy, too.
I guess we don't need to continue hoarding toilet paper. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and I've got some if you need some. In fact, I've got some left over from COVID that didn't work out. We've still got worries, though. I mean, Wall Street, and we'll focus on them again. In fact, we are right now. Here's crude at the high of the day, up $1.35, $75.06. That's an enormous run-up. And gasoline's going right along with it. Heating oil's up 2% today. So the Middle East is still a major concern. And then you talked about, you know, the death toll that keeps increasing from the hurricane. At some point, you know, we'll transition and we'll start looking at the cost of reconstruction. And it's going to be enormous. All the roads, all the railroads, all the bridges, all the houses. A lot of those people, none of those people in North Carolina had flood insurance. So the government's going to have to come in and help out. And it's going to be a monumental undertaking, an absolutely necessary undertaking. But it also, you know, runs the risk of being inflationary.
Wall Street right now, David, how do the numbers look?
Dow's up 125 points. The NASDAQ's up 106. So these are gains of 0.33%. We have twice as many stocks up as down. The Dow coming into today was down 300 points for the week. So we've chipped away at that. The NASDAQ's still lower for the week. The S&P average is climbing back toward positive. But this has been, you know, a week of tremendous uncertainty. We've alleviated some of that uncertainty. Plus, you know, another 254,000 people found jobs last month. That's not bad.
Well, listen, David, you come on down. We have a table full of food here. And you've got your name written all over it.
Keep it warm. I'll be there.
Check out a little early today. You can do it.
That's
you can
right.
play a little hookies.
Fine with me.
Our business analyst, David Johnson, with us on KRLD. David, thanks so much. Longhorns have a bye tomorrow. I think OU may have a bye as well. But they will play 1 week from tomorrow at the Cotton Bowl. And that's good. Bonnie Jill Laughlin, that gives her an extra week to prepare.
To prepare her liver,
She is the biggest Longhorn fan we know. She, in fact, owns a Longhorn.
Bevo, was it Bevo King?
Bevo, what's the
memory?
Bevo,
I'm impressed, y'all.
There we go, Bevo King.
But she's with us right now. We're going to talk about the Longhorns in a second, Bonnie Jill. But The Cowboys. Cowboys get just kind of a mini bye for them. They've had a week and a half off. Now they have to go up and take on the Steelers Sunday night. Big national game on NBC. Is this going to be surprisingly good for Cowboys fans, or is it going to be ugly?
I think it's actually going to end up being a really great game. It could be an ugly game, but as long as we get the dub, just like the Giants game was an ugly game as well. But the biggest thing I think that Cowboys fans have to look for is that they need to be able to score early, be quicker to the punch. As we keep seeing, except the first game against the Browns in week one, they're always having to come from behind. And so this would be nice if they can score early, contain Justin Fields, as we know. If you look at the stats, it's a lot of just Fields running the ball. He's going to kill you with his arm or his legs. Najee Harris, their running back, has been struggling, their first-round pick all season long. So, they struggle the same thing with their run game. So if we can, just be able to grind all four quarters, not relying on just field goals and Brandon Aubrey's leg, get some touchdowns, protect Dak, stop the run, and big is avoid those penalties, because that's really been killing us on our drives. You're there and third down situations, and then you get a really bad holding call, and that sets you all the way back. And now that's really been a struggle, is these red zone opportunities. So those are some things to look for. We're going up against a Pittsburgh Steelers, really good defensive team, one of the best, very well coached by Mike Tomlin. So it's going to be a struggle, but at the same time, I don't think Pittsburgh's exactly what everyone thinks they are. They're a little bit smoke and mirrors. So I know Cowboys fans are probably going to be shocked, but I think we actually can beat this team, because they do struggle offensively, the Steelers.
Bonnie, I know that you guys talked to Dak, speaking of Dak Prescott yesterday.
Yes.
He doesn't have Brandon Cooks. Is he feel confident in the guys, Jalen Tolbert, Jalen Brooks, to back him up?
Yeah, he absolutely is. He talks about that wide receiver room, and he knows that there's guys that need to step up. And actually, Ryan Florino, he'll actually get a start as well. He's been inactive for 4 weeks. He'll be able to line up in the slot. So there's going to be a different type of receiver room, but at the end of the day, it relies on CD. You've got the, CD being one of the highest paid receivers out there, and Dak. So we need to make sure that they're in rhythm and that they're able to connect, because I think CD needs to have a huge game for us to be able to win.
Absolutely.
All right, we're still 8 days away from it, from Texas OU, but I know you're ready for that. I know you'll be here in the Cotton Bowl.
Oh,
correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to be on the sidelines? Can you get us down on the sidelines?
We need to get down on that one. It's a thriller. It always makes me really nervous. There's so much excitement around that game, and you just never know. As we've seen in the past, guys, it's always been a close game, right? It's always something that you never know how it's going to turn out. You look at Texas, of course, they should definitely beat Oklahoma, because Oklahoma is not a very good team this year. But Ewers is obviously going to take the start. Manning, we saw in the ULM game that he struggled a little bit. He had two interceptions. I think he completed 51% of his passes. So Ewers, of course, will not lose his job because of an injury. So he'll get the start, and we'll see how it all plays out. But it'll be exciting nonetheless, and it's supposed to be a good day, good weather, so I'm excited.
Any early trash talk directed at Norman?
I have a lot of Sooner fans, and so of course they like to, they're like, we're going to bring you down the rankings, they always want to crush our dreams, right? And they have done that in the past. So, and they want to do the horns down, which I know a lot of people get offended by that. I actually just say, yeah, I'm obviously still in your head, right? If you're going to send me that horns down, on a Friday morning when we're a week out from the game, you know what I mean? So it's good, it's good to be a Texas Longhorn right now. I just hope that we can get this OU win, because that's real big for us.
Let me ask you this. Does Bevo King get anything special for the Texas OU week?
Well, he gets something special every day. But, yes, he gets a lot more. He likes a lot of
attention.
Vegetables. He loves his vegetables. He loves his carrots. He loves all that good stuff that you wouldn't think Longhorns would eat. So he'll get a lot of more fruits and vegetables. And then maybe I'll take a picture of him, with the King crown showing that, we beat OU, and send it to all my Sooner fans.
All right. That's awesome.
Clearly Bonnie Jill is getting fired up already.
I know.
I like it.
I am. Can you
come out and see us next weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah,
do.
I'm going to come out and see y'all before the game.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Bonnie Jill, thanks so much. We appreciate it. Bonnie Jill Laughlin, biggest Longhorn fan
we know. She went out and bought herself her own Bebo.
When you own a Longhorn, you're a fan.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So we've been following this one out of Rockwall. Police arrested a guy that they say tried to grab a little girl off the street. It was a 10-year-old little girl. She had just gotten off the school bus on Yellow Jacket Lane this afternoon. She was walking home. And there were apparently several witnesses who told police that this guy tried to grab the child by her backpack. But thankfully, she was able to get away. Someone at the scene followed that guy, gave officers information about how to find him. Ended up arresting 21-year-old Brian Calder. He's being charged with attempted kidnapping.
You might remember a story. Fort Worth police shot a guy who pointed a gun at them a few weeks ago. Now they say they hope to show people why it's important if you need help, get help in a crisis.
Fort Worth police have released body camera video of the shooting. Chief Neil Noakes says the video shows officers did everything they could to avoid firing.
I am impressed with the way they approached, impressed with the way that they didn't run up and escalate the situation.
He says the other guy did have a gun, so two officers fired. The guy was hit but survived. They were responding to a call about a suicidal person, and Noakes says the guy wound up committing suicide.
If anyone is going through any type of mental health or mental wellness crisis, preferably before ever even being in crisis, we ask that people reach out for resources, reach out for help.
He says that can include a call to 988. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KULD.
Well, in a couple of weeks, there will be a new face behind the Dallas Police Chief's desk.
Interim Dallas City Manager Kimberly Beiser-Tolbert has named Executive Assistant Chief Michael Igo as the Interim Police Chief. He'll take over at the end of business 2 weeks from today when Eddie Garcia steps down. Igo has been with the DPD his entire 33 years as a cop, coming up through the ranks. And Dallas Police Association President Jaime Castro is quick to point out Igo is a former DPA member.
He understands the needs of the rank and file. He understands what the troops are facing. Like I said, he was a patrol cop. He's been there on our street.
Castro says Igo has always been someone willing to sit at the table and work through issues. From the 24-Hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Cops in Plano investigating a stabbing and a kidnapping. Two men got hurt trying to stop it. The suspects, Raul Puente and Ivan Puente Ledesma, they kidnapped a woman and her child during a domestic. The police tracked them to Oak Cliff, arrested them both. The authorities trying to gather evidence on this kidnapping and assault. Plano police didn't have any updates on the two that got stabbed or the two kidnapping victims.
Police say after a standoff, all four men responsible for a violent robbery in Northwest Dallas have been busted.
Three Venezuelan men were arrested after an hours-long standoff with Dallas and Irving police yesterday. A fourth man was already in custody for a robbery. The men were wanted for the violent attack of a woman as she pulled into her Northwest Dallas garage. Police say they hit her in the head with a gun and threatened to cut off her fingers if she didn't comply, speaking to her through Google Translate. They made off with $75,000 in jewelry, a Gucci purse, the woman's phone, and expensive coins. Police are looking into a connection with the Tren de Aragua gang, the violent Venezuelan group. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
One person dies in a house fire in Roanoke. It happened this morning. A neighbor called 911 at 8:45. They got there 5 minutes later, and the house is just fully involved. Crews from several fire departments put it out. As they fought it, they found that there could be someone inside, but got there too late. Departments and the Red Cross helping a man that lives in the home. Neighbor managed to get the dog out from the backyard. Still no word on who the victim is or how that fire started.
Well, Texas is going after Big Pharma over accusations of price-fixing insulin.
Attorney General Ken Paxton suing insulin manufacturers and pharmacy benefit managers, including Eli Lilly, Express Scripts, and CVS Pharmacy. Paxton calling this a disturbing conspiracy where pharmaceutical companies are intentionally and artificially illegally inflating the price of insulin by 1,000%, a violation of the Texas Deceptive Trade Practices Act. This comes a couple weeks after the Federal Trade Commission filed similar lawsuits. In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.